Good morning to you. In 1782, George Liel and his family left their home in Georgia in America and set sail for Jamaica. Like many black people at the time, George was born as a slave. But in his early 20s, some pretty amazing things happened to George. The first one was that George became a Christian. From a young age, George knew about God and felt bad about sinning, but it was only in his early 20s that he realized that his best efforts couldn't save him. No, only Jesus could. And so George asked God that Jesus would save him and give him good work to do. That was the first amazing thing that happened to George. Here's the second. God answered that prayer. Almost as soon as George became a Christian, he started telling other slaves about Jesus. Through songs that they could sing as they were working on their plantations, George taught his fellow slaves about Jesus. And when the white people in George's church heard about that, well, they invited George to preach to the other slaves. When they heard how good George was at preaching, they said, "You know what? Preach to everyone." George Liel became the first black Baptist pastor in all of America. And that's when the third amazing thing happened. George was freed from slavery. George had now more freedom to tell people about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he arrived with his family in Jamaica in 1782, that is exactly what he did. Although the British authorities tried to stop him, George started a church. Although the British authorities tried to stop him, George set up a free school for black kids so they could learn to read and write. Although the British authorities tried to stop him, in the first 8 years of George being in Jamaica, 400 people came to know the Lord Jesus because of George's preaching. George was an amazing man that God used in an amazing way. But the question I want to ask us all here this morning is this. What about you? What is God calling you to do? If you're anything like me, when you hear amazing stories about people like George Liel, who God has used in amazing ways, you think, it just feels so distant, right? It just feels so unrealistic. Maybe we don't doubt that George can use people like that. We just doubt that God can use people like little old me. If you've ever thought that, I'm so glad you're here this morning. Because Luke is going to show us two things, and here's the first thing that Luke's going to show us from the passage this morning. Follow Jesus, his words can be trusted. Follow Jesus, his words can be trusted. As we've been looking at Luke's gospel over the last couple of weeks, we've seen the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And we've seen how Jesus started his ministry by preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. And as Jesus was preaching, people started coming to him with all sorts of sicknesses and diseases. And Jesus healed them too. And this preaching and this healing, well, it created a buzz. People thought that Jesus had such power and authority. And that is exactly what we see at the beginning of the passage that we're looking at this morning. If you've got a Bible, please do grab it and turn up to Luke chapter 5, verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Jesus is continuing to travel around the area of Judea, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. And as he comes to the edge of Lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee, well, the crowd is starting to press upon him. So he sees these two boats from fishermen who've been fishing out all night. Now they're washing their nets. And so he asks if he can get into one of them. He gets out into the shallow of the water so he can teach the crowd on the shore. And once Jesus finishes preaching, he says to Peter, Simon Peter, one of the owners of the boat, well, he says to him something remarkable. Have a look down at verse 4. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Isn't that an amazing thing to say? Who is Jesus? Jesus is the son of a carpenter, and he's here telling an experienced fisherman how to fish. How nuts is that? That's like me walking out of this building after the service, walking down the road to the car mechanic on Warwick Road, and starting to give the mechanics a lecture in how to service a car. What would we expect them to say? But what we would expect those car mechanics to say is not what Peter says next. Verse 5. Simon Peter answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." Here is Peter and his fellow fishermen, no doubt wearied and broken and tired after a night's worth of worthless fishing. He knows, like any experienced fisherman in that area, that the early morning, that was the worst time to try and catch fish. But he recognizes something of Jesus' authority. And so he says, "All right." And he puts down the nets. And what a good job he did. Because my word, it was no doubt the biggest catch that Peter had ever had. Verse 6. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. It's something out of a comedy off TV, isn't it? One second, here's Simon Peter and his fellow fishermen, wearied and dejected and tired after a night of worthless fishing. The next moment, this guy comes up, who's never probably fished in his life before, tells them where to put the nets. And well, they're catching so many fish that their nets are breaking and their boats are sinking. Do you see what Jesus is doing here? Jesus is showing these disciples, trust me. Trust my words. As we'll see in the second half of our passage, Jesus will come to call these men to follow him. And as we read through the rest of the book of Luke and Luke's second volume, the book of Acts, we see that in many times, these men would be asked by Jesus to do something which seemed nuts. Many times they would have thought they would have known better. But do you see what Jesus is doing here? Right here in Jesus' first encounter with them, he's saying to them, "Follow me, my words can be trusted. Follow me, my words can be trusted." And the reason Luke has recorded them here, and the reason that God has planned for us to look at them this morning, is because every follower of Jesus here this morning needs to know that too. Do you know one of the reasons why when I hear amazing stories about people like George Liel, I think, yeah, that was great for George, just not little of me. Well, one of the reasons I think like that is because I don't trust Jesus' words. Sure, I might say I do on a Sunday morning when we're all here and we say the confession together. But what about Monday evening when I'm coming home from work and I'm putting the key in the door and my neighbor Steve is doing the same? And I see Steve and he asks me how my day is and I have a great opportunity to share the faith with him. What do I do? So often I bottle it. Why do I bottle it? Because in that moment, I don't trust Jesus' words to me that it's more important for Steve to have an opportunity to know the Lord Jesus than what he thinks of me. Or say it's Wednesday morning and I jump onto our Google weekday prayer meeting. And we're praying for our church's relationship with people in our local community. And it begins to dawn on me, maybe I could serve my church better and Jesus better if I moved close to our church building. What happens when that thought comes into our mind? So often we just shut it down. Why? Because in that moment we don't trust Jesus' words to us that it's more important that we use all that God gives us to serve and follow him than say, easy parking. Or say it's Friday afternoon. Mum or dad reminds me that youth group is on this evening and I know I should go. I know it would be good for the other people in my youth group, but frankly, I'm just not feeling it. And so when 7:30 comes around, what do? I don't log into the Zoom call. I just load up the latest episode of Money Heist on Netflix and just sit back and relax. Why do I do that? Because in that moment, I don't trust Jesus' words to me. That the best thing I can do with my Friday evening is to love the Lord my God with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love my fellow teenagers as myself. One of the big reasons we don't follow Jesus' call on our lives is if we just don't trust him But Luke is showing us this morning that we can follow Jesus because his words can be trusted. Follow Jesus, his words can be trusted. One of the reasons we don't follow Jesus' call on our lives is just because we don't trust him. Some of us here this morning will need to know that. We'll need to hear that this morning. But there'll be some of us here who know in the moment how often we don't trust him. Some of us here will know how small our faith often is. Some of us will know how deep is our sin. And if that's you this morning, can I encourage you to keep listening in? Because in these last few verses of our passage this morning, we see something even more remarkable than all of that miracles with the fishes and the breaking nets and the sinking boats. Have a look down with me to verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. As Peter has seen Jesus perform this miracle with all those fishes and breaking nets and sinking boats, well, he begins to see who Jesus is. In verse 5, do you see, Peter called Jesus master. Now, in verse 8, he calls him Lord. Now, it's unlikely that Peter kind of had a full understanding of who Jesus was, but he knows enough about Jesus to know that there is a big difference between Jesus and him. And what's Peter's reaction? Peter's reaction is to get on his knees and start confessing his sin. And that might be happening to you this morning. Maybe this morning, perhaps for the first time in your life, you're beginning to see Jesus for who he really is. Maybe like Peter, when you walked through the doors this morning or opened up your device, you thought Jesus was just like an impressive religious teacher. Now, like Peter in verse 8, you're beginning to think, oh, maybe there's actually something a whole lot more to him. Well, if that's you, don't be surprised this morning if the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, starts showing you your sin. Let me try and explain why. What color are white sheep? What color are white sheep? It's not a trick question. What color are white sheep? White, right? Have you ever seen white sheep in the snow? Anybody ever seen white sheep in the snow? Because when you see white sheep in the snow, they don't look all that white at all. Compared to the white perfection of the snow, they're kind of just like a grubby yellow. And that's what happened when Peter started seeing Jesus for who he really is. When he started seeing that Jesus was different, he was special, he was perfect, he was without sin, well, it made Peter get down on his knees and start confessing his sin. So if that's you this morning, can I encourage you not to leave this building, not to shut off your device, without confessing your sin to Jesus and following him? And the reason I say that is because of what happened next. Have a look down at the second half of verse 10. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Here is Peter in the boat with all these fish kind of flopping around him, on his knees confessing his sin to Jesus. He's broken under the weight of his shame, broken under the weight of his guilt. And what's Jesus' response? Jesus doesn't push him away. Jesus doesn't turn him away. He invites him in. Do you see that? In a second, Peter's identity is fundamentally changed. Peter goes from seeing himself as a sinner to being a Christ follower. Christian brother and sister, in these verses, we see right into the heart of God this morning. You want to know what Jesus is like? Look down at verse 10. So many people in our world tell us that if we're to be anybody, if we're to do anything, we just have to get it together. But here is Jesus calling a ragbag bunch of broken and flawed fishermen to come and follow him. And what a job he gives them, right? He calls them to follow him and to go and be fishers of men. As we go on reading the book of Luke, as we read Luke's second volume, the book of Acts, we will come to see just how amazingly God used these men. We think it's amazing when George Leal goes to Jamaica and 8 years later, he's baptized 400 people. Well, when Peter stands up and preaches his first sermon in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people come to know the Lord Jesus before the end of the day. Over the next 30 or 40 years, Jesus would use these men to bring thousands of people to come to know him. Like the thousands of fish that flooded into the boat, God used these men to bring thousands of people to know him. And although God doesn't call any of us to start the church, let us not miss what God is saying to us this morning. When I hear stories about George Leal, and I think, oh yeah, that was great for him, just not little old me. One of the first things I think like that is because I don't trust Jesus' words. But there's often another reason too. And that's because of my sin. I just don't think I'm able. I just don't think I'm worthy to be called by Jesus to go and be a fisher of men. But let's not miss what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is telling us through Luke this morning that we haven't blown it because of our sin. Follow Jesus, his words can be trusted. Follow Jesus, your sin hasn't blown it. So as I finish this morning, let me say this to you. When it's Monday evening and you're getting in from work, and you see your neighbor and you have the opportunity to share Jesus about him, when it's Wednesday morning and you log into the Google prayer meeting and you just see, you feel your heart pulling to think about Eastern and maybe moving closer to the area. When Friday evening winds round and you know you should be at youth group, but you just don't want to. Remember that God chooses to use weak and broken people like us. Sure, we might feel flawed. Sure, it might be scary. Sure, we might think even if we turn up, it's not going to make much difference anyway. But let us not forget that God chooses to use weak and broken people like us, even in spite of our sin. 250 years ago, someone said this about an encounter they had with Jesus. The more I heard and read about him, I saw that I was condemned as a sinner before God. I saw my condemnation in my own heart. I found no way wherein I could escape the damnation of hell, and only through the merits of my dying Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which caused me to pray with Christ for the salvation of my poor soul. They were the words of George Leal, the first modern missionary, the world's first modern missionary, and a weak and flawed man like you and me. Let's pray as we finish our time together. Father God, we pray that you would show us Jesus. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would show us who he is in all his power and authority, like you in your grace showed Peter and those other fishermen in those boats. And Lord, as we see you, please help us to trust you, to follow you, to give up everything if necessary and follow you, trusting that your words can be trusted and knowing that our sin hasn't blown it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.